Ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and his prophecy inspired by the Spirit of Christ. And chapter 43, we'll read the first 21 verses of this amazing prophecy of the Old Testament. Isaiah 43 and verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. But now thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not. For I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who's called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring out their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. There is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives. The Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Thus far we read the word of God, Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 43. And that last verse, beloved, is my text for this morning as we hear the preaching of the gospel from Isaiah 43:21. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. This text trumpets truth of the purpose of Almighty God in saving a people. And that purpose is for His own praise. I may startle you, it may rub you the wrong way, but it's true. Our text says it clearly. It trumpets this certain sound that God saves sinners for His own name's sake and to give glory to Him. Listen, this people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. This is what the Old Testament people needed to hear, that they were all about the praise of God, that they existed for His sake, by His mercy, and to be a people that would shout His praise and live according to His truth. This also, beloved, is the truth that is given to the New Testament people of God in a verse that all but echoes our text in the New Testament in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. In case you were thinking that that was just for the Old Testament, hear this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So to the New Testament church, those Gentiles mixed with the Jews who are called out of darkness, there exists this reason for their being, the praise of God. This is why God has made us, beloved, to be church. Children and young people know this. You exist as you are a child of God and you're given faith to praise the Lord. That's what you're all about with us as well who believe with you. And so this is so very important, beloved. It's all about God-centeredness here. This people I have formed for myself, God says. They shall declare my praise. And how needed at this time. And people are believing that creation and the providence that God shows upon His creature are simply for the creation's sake. And as if God owed the creation something. And that the creation is here to receive from God and that they deserve it. Others, however, at the same time will say that even salvation is for our sake. And there's some truth in this, of course. When we're saved, we're given great blessings and we're saved to the uttermost through Jesus Christ. But the principal thing of salvation, we must understand, is that it's for God's sake. Lest our Christianity itself and our being Christians be a seeking after some kind of blessing for our sake, as if we deserved it. No, the gospel is, for the glory of God, we are saved for God's sake and to praise Him. And so, beloved, we want to consider also as we are focusing on our life of thanks now in our understanding and going through the regular course of Christian doctrine, that our thankful living, our response to what God has done for us and in us, is all about praise. That's how the creeds of the church and the people of God from all ages have always seen this wonderful salvation of God. We are saved in order to praise the Lord. We're here, beloved, as Isaiah says, formed for God Himself in order to declare our praise. And so let's consider formed for praise. First of all, the idea of that. Secondly, the manifestation of that. And that would be in a life of good works. This is how we praise God. And then finally, the call that's implied in our text and in this great, wonderful salvation that God has given to us. He's formed us for Himself. Well, beloved, we have a startling expression here. It's the language of self that's used here. You notice that. God, speaking through Isaiah, is speaking about Himself. There's a self thing going on here. This people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise. Now, if you didn't hear that in the Bible, and perhaps you might have even heard that from an angel who whispered in your ear that he was doing things for himself and everything was for his praise. And certainly if you heard this from a devil or from a person that they were doing something for themselves, you'd say that's inappropriate. That's selfish, not right. Of course. Because you see, we all know only one deserves the praise. And God can not only do this and get away with this, but God says this because it's exactly true. He is God and deserves all the praise. He is great and greatly to be praised. It reminds us of what the Bible teaches elsewhere was the very purpose of creation. When God made everything, children, do you know why He made them? It was so that He would receive the praise and everything would declare His glory. And so the psalmist in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. They were made to be preachers. and those who would say, this God is great, and behold that in our very creation and in His providence of us. Or you could go to Revelation 4 and verse 11. This is what they say in heaven. The sinless 4 and 20 elders say, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Or you could go to the Apostle Paul in Romans in chapter 11, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. All the creation is of God and through God and unto God, that is, unto His praise, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So the very formation of the universe in the mind of God and in reality as it's played out in the fulfillment of His counsel is for praise. The creation God has formed for Himself, and everything that happens in this creation and all of the things of history among men and mountains and ants and elephants and so on, is for the praise of God. But there's something even more. God says in our text, this people have I formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. You have here something extraordinary, not merely creational, but recreational. God is speaking of a people that is saved. A people that is brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. They shall praise me. Creation does. And just prior to us, we read of the beast of the field honoring God and the jackals and the ostriches and so on. But the people of God here are called to lead the way, are said to lead the way in this thing called praise. In all their life, in all their conversation, in their truth and in their truthful living, they are formed for God Himself to declare His praise. Now that's amazing. What God is doing here is saying, I take sinners who formerly lived for themselves, and I form them now, and I make them now, and reconstitute them now, so that they are praise vehicles, praise agents. Whereas before, everyone was fallen in Adam in sin and out for themselves, they just praised themselves and sought the glory of man. This people, this distinct people, I love and I have chosen, as the text is saying, I will give drink to my people, my chosen. I will also form now to be mine. Oh, beloved. This is pictured in God's dealing with Israel in the Old Testament. And the prophet Isaiah rehearses that history, God's gracious dealing with them, making a way in the sea, a path through the mighty waters, verse 16, bringing down chariots and horses of Pharaohs and so on, so that they do not kill off the people of God. This salvation of the people of God and their formation as a people is indicated in the text and passage, in God's care of them in the wilderness and so on. But especially there's this announcement here in this prophet, as there is in so many other places in Isaiah, of the new thing that God will do. Did you notice that? Verse 19. Do not remember the former things, as verse 18, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, so that the beasts and the jackals and the ostriches and the people praise God. Well, beloved, what's this new thing? I declare to you today that which we know in the light of the New Testament. It's the new revelation of God in Jesus, isn't it? It's the fulfillment of the promises, so that they're now yea and amen in this one who comes in this new time called the fullness of the time. That's the new thing that God does, whereby He sends His own Son, takes on the human flesh and our sin for His sake, and makes all things new by a blood atonement. He is the one who suffers for us, and He's the way in our wilderness, you see, the only way out. The only one who can provide the manna which is from heaven and which will sustain us and grant us eternal life. He's the one who will send the Spirit when He's risen, and He has. So that now there is this life-giving Spirit from heaven, and as the Spirit comes to each of God's chosen ones, there's this renewal, there's this new thing that happens, even life from heaven. And that you, beloved, is that all of us here. Has this thing happened among the people of God? We are called to examine ourselves and to be if we be in this way and have this Spirit and have this life and have this delight in this new thing that's happened. Amazing. The prophet here in the Old Testament, he says, this people have I formed for myself, they shall declare myself. And he's forecasting, prophesying, looking ahead to this time when there shall be this New Testament people on the other side of Bethlehem and Calvary, that mount of the shame of the Son of God, which was for our salvation. On the other side of the empty tomb, on the other side of the ascension and Pentecost, and now waiting for Him to come again and to make a new heavens and new earth, there's this prophecy of this people that of all peoples in the world and of time have reason to praise God. This people, you and I, beloved, and everyone who's given faith, and everyone who bows down before the Creator, the Redeemer. This people have I formed for myself. I have fashioned them. They now have a new heart. They have a will now that desires the praise of God. And they bring not the offerings then that are unacceptable to God, just the things that they have, maybe the money. They bring those. But first of all, they bring the heart. And they come covered with the blood of the Lamb. You see, that's something that Israel wasn't doing there in the Old Testament. And there's mixed with this prophecy of praise and redemption and so on, a rebuke, a stern rebuke and a warning. Verse 22, "You've not called upon me, O Jacob. You've been weary of me, O Israel. You've not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I've not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense," and so on. It seems that they're bringing certain offerings, but they're not bringing the Lamb. They're not coming in the way of an Abel, but of Cain. And so there's this formalistic type of religion of which we'll speak presently. But, beloved, here is this wonderful truth, though, of the fact that all the people of God are formed and born again and converted to be God's praisers on this earth, willing in the day of His power to choose not for self but for God. And you see, this is the thing that distinguishes the praise. It distinguishes the praise of the people of God. They take the side of the Word, and it's all about God. You see, that's what praise is, fundamentally. All about God, declaring the truth of the greatness of God, acknowledging that before the world, being the witnesses of this great one. And it's nothing about self. You see that? There's nothing of self, except myself, that is God's self in our text. And declaring God's praise is what the people are all about. And so, beloved, that's the idea. We are formed as we are made new and born again for the praise of God. And there's this wonderful congregation of which we're a part as we consider this thing of praise. This people is a people of many different individuals and congregations and lands and times. I'm thinking of all the saints of God, just from the Psalms, the perspective of the Psalms, for example, who have this praise in their heart. This will be written for the generation to come, Psalm 102:18, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. For the psalmist in Psalm 103 stirs up his soul, calls his soul, talks to his soul, and says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits." And on he goes. He cannot contain himself. He calls his soul to praise. We're among that company of God praisers, beloved, who are concerned with soul praise. In the psalm that was the call to worship, Psalm 147, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. Of this wonderful God and His mercies, we are called to praise Him. That's the first verse. For it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant. Praise is beautiful. And then there's the chorus of Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. And the summons of all creation, the people of God leading the way to praise the Lord. Oh, beloved, now the question is how? How do we do that? We are formed for the praise of God. Isaiah tells us that. And in no uncertain terms, as a trumpet blast here, we are formed for God Himself to declare His praise. Well, beloved, how does that show itself? Very important that we understand this, and that we understand that we are here and here to show off this praise of God. And I want to point out to you that that means, as the Catechism reminds us, that we live this life of gratitude in all of our conduct. We show thanks in all of our conduct. That's Lord's Day 32 that we're up to. Lord's Day 32. When we consider a life of thanks, it's this life of praise, that's the focus of it, which shows itself in all of our conduct, everything, our whole life, a life of praise. And that includes all the realms of existence, personal, family, church, your little circle of a world, and the greater world. How about those five realms of existence? It includes your person, first of all. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In all our deeds, as Paul says to the Colossians, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Everything, children. In everything, you're praising the Lord. It's a lie to think that some of us have a sacred calling, some of us have a secular calling. No, as Christians, it's all a sacred calling. In everything, you see, we're praising the Lord. Look at the psalmist here. He says, this people I have formed for myself. And that means, beloved, all the time. We're not for ourselves over here in our time and then for God Himself over there, maybe in church on Sunday, but all the time. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. That's what makes the Christian life so thrilling. And I said in the prayer a few minutes ago that there's nothing in us significant, but as renewed children of God, when Christ is in us, everything's significant. Whatever you're doing, if you're washing the floor and on your knees and nobody's looking, with the praise of God in your heart and on your lips, and as you're humming a psalm on your knees, that's a praise to God. And as you're a businessman of integrity, and as you're one who keeps Sabbath, and as you're one who preaches even, we can be praised to the Lord. As you're one who hears, and you're one who encourages, on your knees, with your wife, loving your family, loving your parents, that's for praise. Doesn't matter. Personally, when no one's looking, and when everybody's looking, praising the Lord. And then in our homes, this people of families I've formed for myself, Isaiah is very much aware of the promise of God to us and to our children, as many as God shall call, That's God's way to save families. So together we worship the Lord. We have family devotions. We have the children piously and religiously educated in the nurture and admonition of God in His Word so that they have principles before their practices betray that they don't have principles. We are taught, beloved, the foundational things of purity and holiness before we get in the back seat of a car. We must teach our children the things of God and of godliness and for praise right from the get-go, as it were, on our knees with them and holding them in our lap and praying to God for them. And so, it's so very important as families that we praise and that children, you help along in the praise, encouraging one another, having a cheerful attitude and careful to be those who uplift each other in all the trials we undergo as family, in all the work we have to do. And then there's church, of course. Oh, what does a church do? How is a church formed for God? Well, a church is formed for God, beloved, and to be as those who show off the glories of God by declaring truth. And from this pulpit, we shall, God helping us, be those who declare the truth as it is in Jesus, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God. The truth as it is in Jesus, the truth of grace, sovereign grace, the truth of God and everything for God, the truth of the one who binds up the brokenhearted, who heals those who are wounded, the truth for sinners, one and all, who come limping into church, wounded by life's hurts and sin itself, and wondering if there's any way out of this mess, any way to heaven for me, the sinner. Yes, that's what we're here for. This side of Grand Rapids in our world, for the salvation of as many as God will give us to be appraised that way. So, in that realm, and then in our world, witnessing, and also thinking about this whole world with which we are so interconnected in this age of communication, Skype, and Internet. So, beloved, we praise God. And this is the fruit, of course, as the Catechism reminds us, of assurance. As we are engaging in this praising of God and in good works and everything we do for His name, there's this assurance we have. And that brings further confirmation to us that we are the people of God and further strength to our chorus of praise. And so that the trumpet is no longer an uncertain thing, but we're blowing a certain sound here. And in our lives, we are assured. We stand on the rock. God is faithful. He will see us through. He will forgive me, though I've fallen again. And then others are gained to Christ too. That's another fruit of this people that's formed for praise. Others are gained to this people, this city on the hill. And they are given to be on the hill with us. Thanks be to God. So by this life of good works in every realm, and with these wonderful fruits of assurance personally, and of gaining souls to Christ, we give this praise to God. But only let them be truly good works. There's something here to remind us of the difficulty of this whole thing, of leading a life of praise. Some good works are not good works. Many good works are bad works. What do I mean? Well, our catechism reminds us of this fact that there are a kind of people that has formed together and been brought together in societies that come together, and they have this notion of what is good, even religious societies. And they're supposed to be a people, perhaps, who comes together for the praise of God, but they end up praising themselves and perpetuating their own institutions, perhaps. And societies, many of them think what is good is really evil, and what is evil is really good. And so there's some confusion as to what are good works and what it is it to praise God. The Catechism reminds us that good works are these. They come from faith. They're according to the law of God that we've read. And for the honor of God, for the true praise of God. And they can only be for the praise of God if they are out of faith, trust in God. and according to His standard of good, and for His praise. Well, think of the sham, beloved. There's many really good things that are not a praise to God. That is, they are not offered and acceptable to God by these sinful people who do these good things. I'm thinking of practical things. I think of refrigerators. I think of Ford trucks and things that are made, and they're good trucks. Maybe you disagree. Or they're good refrigerators, and there's good design to this building and so on. Good in itself, very practical. But that's not, you see, what God means by good in itself. And that is not what God means in Isaiah by the people of God being formed to give God the praise when they offer to Him good and workable refrigerators or other things. No. There's also beautiful things that the world itself can produce. Beautiful, some of them, the works of art at the Art Prize locally here recently. Some beautiful things, beautiful sonnets of Shakespeare and all of these things. But our catechism and the Word of God reminds us that that in itself isn't good either, all by itself, these beautiful things. There's also things that are, well, there are societal things. And after a fashion, they're good societal things, like decent laws that are for equity and justice in the earth. And peace and the efforts of peace and to try to reconcile nations to themselves. There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything good for that. There's neighborly things as well. Oh, of course, it's better to help the little old lady across the street than to beat her over the head. It's good. It's something that's neighborly, isn't it? And all of these things fall into the realm as well of external things. So useful and external things, things that you see, and beautiful and societal and neighborly. These are all the kinds of good works that people are doing. And they're even claiming that in the end of time, well, God will accept them for those kinds of good things. Well, beloved, is that what God accepts? Is that for His praise on the earth? The Bible, in no uncertain terms, says no. These are not the works of men that are acceptable to God. Oh no, not in themselves. Not though it's practical, beautiful, useful, neighborly, or whatever. But God, the Bible says, desires truth in the inward parts. And the sacrifices of God are the broken spirit and the contrite hearts. And all the religious works as well, even those done in the name of Jesus Christ, if they're not out of faith in Christ and according to the law of God, cannot be for the glory of God and are even reprehensible in the eyes of God. So our works of praise, beloved, only let them be truly good works according as God describes what they are, out of faith, for God's praise according to His standard. That means three things that I want to leave you with. Three things. And this is this calling that's implied in our text and to us as we would seek to give God the glory in a life of thanks. Three things. First, our praise of God is our praise of Christ. And our praise of Christ occurs when we truly believe in Him. And our doing good works in thanksgiving to God is all with an attitude that we do these things in thanks and not to earn, and because we are thrilled with the work of Christ, first of all. You see that? That's evangelical. That's gospel good works. The gospel of good works. You see, we're not here just as moralists who say, you know, do a good turn daily or other things that the Boy Scouts might do. This is not the Boy Scouts, beloved. This is the church. And when God is saying, this people have I formed for myself, there's this dignity about this people that is bestowed upon them. No one else in all the face of the earth is so formed, so regenerated, so indwelt by the Spirit, so enlightened by the truth, as it is in Jesus. And so therefore, people of God, you're formed to be these who would trumpet the truth of Jesus. And preacher, when you preach, may your good work be the declaration of God's love for us in Christ. That, first of all. And sinners forgiven for Jesus' sake. In a call to fly to Jesus and be saved. And trust in Him and His righteousness alone. So that only in Him are you acceptable to God. That's it, beloved. How little we do this. How little we're Christ-centered, right? How easy it is for a pulpit to get over here. And preaching to get over here. And we hear something else. Here's a how-to religion. Here's a can-do religion. And let's hear about Samson. What a great example he was, and what great power. And David, he overcame Goliath. And don't get beyond the men and the earthly power then. We need Christ. Christ Jesus. And that's the good work of the church. That's the good work of Christians, to declare the honor of Christ. See, this isn't some generic religion here. This is Jehovah forming the people for Himself. This is Jehovah God, the God of covenant, the God of Abraham and all who believe like Abraham, the God of those who trust in a righteousness that has to come from heaven, who trust in the Son of God's work and now who believe that He's coming again and can hardly wait. This people I form for myself, they shall declare my Jesus. We could translate, interpret the text. They shall declare my Son. The way, the truth, and the life in the wilderness. The one who's begun the new thing. A fellowship with God through Him. The ever-blessed way of God. Then this. The good work. We're really understanding this. The good work of conversion is the good and often silent work and often struggling work that is what we should focus on in our thinking of a life of thanks. I'm thinking of the being turned from the outward works of the flesh that we've been doing. I'm thinking of being turned from the gluttony and the drunkenness and the pornography and the idolatry and the thievery and everything else that's mentioned in the catechism and in the Bible as things that were works of the flesh. That a child of God has no place doing and being. This is the good work of the child of God, beloved. Is that your good work? Turning from those sins that you see? That's a good work that people don't like to think are good works. And many in the world will do a good work and they'll go out and get drunk and celebrate their good work. Many in the church too, I fear. They have certain good works they'll do, but the other works of the flesh they will do too. And they think they can go to heaven that way. But beloved, they're missing the whole point of the formation of God. When God forms a people, He reforms them completely so that in all their life, in every nook and cranny of their life, in every book they read, in every tape they listen to, in every song in the radio they listen to, and program they watch, and internet site they visit, they will reflect they've been formed by God. And they've not learned the way of the heathen. And they're not out to be entertained and to be satisfied with the things of this world. They are formed for God. They are no longer with themselves or with the Beatles or with anybody else that they admire on this earth. They are with God, loving the things that God loves and hating the things that God hates. Being converted is that daily. That's what our life of thanksgiving is. It's a daily conversion. But then there's more. There's this inward, isn't there? As the Catechism reminds us that there's this true conversion of the man, of God's people, that consists in the mortification of an old man and a quickening of a new. So if you be God's people, formed for His praise, this goes on. Death to the old. How? Say no. Deny the flesh. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Life to the new. How's that? Trusting in God, drawing from His power and saying, Lord, I claim this power from heaven that You give so that I can step lively in the things of God. And I may not be a preacher in the office, but Lord, let me be a declarer in the pew and in my world of Your life. And of You being God and You know and no other. Daily, this goes on. And this is a struggle, beloved. Constant struggle. This is the good work, though, that we're given to do. And if everything else is there and this is not, this inward part, what are we? And a bunch of fakes. So we need to be on our knees, calling upon God, something Israel was not doing. The first rebuke of God, after He says, this people have I formed for Myself, and they shall declare My praise, His first rebuke is, but you've not called upon Me, O Jacob. You've been weary of Me, O Israel. You see, beloved, if we be a people that's formed for God's praise and would show it, we'll be this Christ-centered people, this people that's converted and being converted daily inside and out, and we'll be a praying people, calling upon God, absolutely dependent upon Him, on our knees. This is how we're formed, to be on our knees, kneeling, begging, beseeching God. And that, we are reminded, is the chief work of thanks. Prayer to and dependence on God. Beloved, finally this, remember, as we seek the life of praise and we give God all the glory, remember that our good works of thanks and praise are a result of His good work. Note this. God says, this people I have formed for Myself. They shall declare My praise. What's the good work of God here? That's the most important thing. Lord, He has done a great work. The good work of God is us. The good work of God is He's made us and we are His workmanship. Isn't that amazing? And so, beloved, in all our struggles, and yes, we fail, God says, fear not, You're Mine. I'm with you though you go through the waters, though you fail, though you fall, though you stumble. I'm with you. I'm calling to you. Now, press on, beloved. You're formed for My praise, but remember me. Remember My work and give Me the glory.